The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Showtime.
The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
If you could have one of them, which one would you take?
Okay, Jim Craig's. All right, you put me in a tough spot here.
Because he was the highlight of that team.
He was.
Sports Wholesaler. Yeah. Thanks for calling back. No. I still got the shoes. Lots of them. Yeah, this is beautiful athletic here.
I don't think Brett Favre's Super Bowl ring now has the same luster.
Oh, it still does. With Packers fans, it absolutely does.
I think some people are going, really?
Mr. Wilhelm.
So, George, have you heard anything about the missing equipment?
No, not a thing.
I can separate him being a thief with this. Allegedly being a thief in the state of Mississippi.
You know, George, there's nothing I hate more than a liar.
Well, there's no room for someone like that in this organization.
You're getting sued. You are getting sued.
I said alleged.
You and Shannon Sharp.
I said alleged.
Class action.
Allegedly.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth.
Nothing ruins a vacation / family trip. I heard you guys talking about that. Family trip versus vacation.
Yeah.
Like a Marquette loss. You guys, I was all decked out, head to toe, Marquette gear. Went to the sports bar. We're sitting there in Florida, in Orlando. We got our whole spread set up, right? Got the nachos piled high. We've got the wings. We've got all the things, the beverages flowing. Kids are all set up at the end of the table with the iPad watching Ratatouille or something. I don't even know. It was the other end of the table. I was not paying attention to that. We got all the televisions around us, right? They're all watching the Marquette game or the Gonzaga game, which they ended up losing. People were super excited about Purdue advancing. And I'm all set. I'm locked in. I'm ready to go. I'm repping my team. Well, that was very unfortunate how that all went down. And what I'm struggling with this morning is, why was it worse yesterday, Gabe? Why did I feel worse yesterday about the Marquette loss to NC State than I did the day before when they lost to NC State?
So I did the thing yesterday where I started blaming Virginia because...
Oh, I know.
Because
I got this butterfly effect.
In the ACC tournament, NC State... down 3, late in the game. If Tony Bennett fouls, and they just send him to the free throw line, and he just, you know, chaos happens, Virginia wins. NC State's not even in this damn tournament. Instead, he doesn't foul. NC State hits the miracle 3, goes on to win in overtime, wins the ACC tournament, and goes on this magical run. So it's all Tony Bennett's fault. That's who I'm blaming. That's what I did yesterday after realizing and going back through my mind of who I should be blaming. I'm blaming Tony Bennett. Just doesn't happen if Tony Bennett just fouls when he's up 3 like he should have.
Is it because Duke got trucked by NC State and it would have been nice for Marquette to do the same? Is that why?
Why it was worse yesterday? I don't know. Because NC State is actually a really likable team.
They are.
Right? Like as you're watching them and Burns has got that grin as he's absolutely just dominating in the paint. You're like, man, if this team had knocked out my team, I would actually want them to win the whole dang thing.
I think Nicole Auerbach had the best tweet about it yesterday. Covers college sports for The Athletic. That half of DJ Burns' fan base is just NFL draft Twitter begging him to play football.
And the other half, basketball fans.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a big weekend for big men. You got to admit, right? Like, you talk about how Marquette, in particular, let's just talk about Marquette, is a fast, smaller squad. But, you know, they create offense with their defense. And you got a lot of quick guards out there. And Tyler Kolek, one of the best point guards in the country, if not the best point guard in the country. And that's a different style of basketball than you are seeing with guys like Klingon from UConn. And guys like Burns from NC State. And guys like Edie from Purdue, who are just like clogging up the lane. And not playing necessarily, in Edie's case, an aesthetically pleasing style of basketball. But two things can be true. I can respect the fact that he's, you know, very good at what he does. And also... not enjoy watching him or Purdue play. But maybe that's it, Chu. Maybe it was like, you know, it was watching NC State and Duke yesterday and being like, holy hell, they're going to do this. They're going to pull this off. They're going to go to the Final Four. They're going to take our spot, the spot that I thought Marquette should have been in.
I even thought they were going to win when they were down like 12. I'm like, all right, they got to start falling.
Yeah, right? At some point, they didn't have to go in.
They didn't have their chances. They had good looks. They just didn't hit the shots, and they're out.
You know how they got you.
So who do we want in it?
So who are we rooting for? My wallet is rooting for UConn.
I was about to say, well, Jen was out of the state. I think she visited a state or two that has gambling from her phone, so yes. She may have placed a bet or two off of some apps.
And I will say this. Somebody asked me if I had bet on the Marquette game. I did not bet on the Marquette game. I did many, 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 many weeks ago put money on Marquette to win the whole thing. That's not the same thing as betting on that game against NC State. What, now you're going to blame me instead of Tony Bennett?
I mean, it's like you don't learn any lessons. Zero lessons learned.
Well, much like Marquette, who just kept chucking the threes.
Well, I mean, again, you shoot 36%.
What I was going to say is, and I think that maybe this could be for our loyal listeners as well. You know how there are numbers that haunt you, right? Numbers.
4th and 26.
Exactly the one I was going to go to. The numbers 4th and 26, right? If you're an Atlanta Falcons fan, there's a number that haunts you.
It 28 is to 3.
28 to 3, exactly. 4 of 31 is going to haunt me for the rest of my time on this planet. That was what the Marquette Golden Eagles shot from 3. A very good three-point shooting team. I mean, they obviously create their offense where they depend on their three ball and they depend on their points in the paint, right? Not a lot of mid-range stuff happening for Marquette. Did Marquette make a mistake, Gabe, by not pivoting, changing, finding some of that mid-range game, finding guys? I mean, if that's what they were going to give you, should they have been taking that?
If your jumpers aren't falling, they're not going to fall from 15 feet suddenly. Like, this is who you are, and you're getting wide open looks.
Yeah, they were getting
wide open looks. It's not like, you know, in today's NFL, let's go ahead and pivot it to football for the big guy over there. You know, you're a team that throws the football a ton, and you throw the foot, and you start the game, okay, you're 1 for 6 throwing the football. You're not just going to, we're just going to abandon that and just run the ball and then just run it into the middle of the line and just get 2 yards, 2 yards, 2 yards, keep punting it away. Because, oh, by the way, that's what NC State was doing. They were packing the paint. They didn't want Cam Jones or Tyler Kolek or Oso Iguodaro finishing at the rim the way they were. So they had wide open looks. And when you're a good three-point shooting team, as you mentioned, you have to take those shots. Have to. I mean, they take 25 threes a game on average. So it's not like 31's chucking. You know, I'm sure there are other examples of Marquette taking more than 30 threes in a game. So it's not like they were just chucking the threes. And they were good looks. I don't think they forced any of them. And they just, sometimes they don't go in. And unfortunately, they did not go in for Marquette.
At all. Is there a number, Chu, from your playing career or just in sports in general that haunts you? Because 4 of 31 is going to haunt me and probably the rest of the Marquette fan base for a very long time.
There's a word.
That haunts me? What?
We talked about it last week.
A word?
Yeah, a word that haunts you, your
Friday
career.
For a re-chew? I don't want to do it on a
Technically,
Monday.
Last week's content would not be eligible for this week's.
Super Bowl 32. There's a word that haunts you.
Super Bowl 32. I got my guy?
What did your coach not do?
Oh, scat. Scat.
Yes, you've talked about that a lot.
Yeah. Take the scat off. What was the Terrell Owens touchdown? Was that fourth down? I think that was. I don't know why that doesn't have a name.
Well, because that was Jerry Rice fumbled. Jerry fumbled before all of that.
Yeah. I'm going to ask you this. Why are we okay with this tournament? Because college football's kind of going to be similar. It'll be like the Sweet 16 on. But why are we okay with these? I guess I can't call them crappy teams. I can call an 11 seed crappy, right?
Why don't you just call it an 11 seed?
I mean, you're just,
wouldn't that
right,
work?
Too late. We're already there.
The implication is there. We understand what you say when you say a lower seed. We understand what you mean, rather.
But people would be wild if NC State was in the Final Four in football.
Yeah, but it
would be like
just
Cincinnati, though, wouldn't it?
Exactly. I don't want Cincinnati in a Final Four.
But, I mean, not really, because I look at football, Chew, and it's just a different game, especially at the collegiate level, as physical as some of these teams are. Like, mid-majors can't compete. like, so let's take Purdue last year, for example. They were the number one overall seed in the tournament.
Yeah.
They lost to the 64th ranked team. There is a 0% chance that Alabama or LSU or whoever the number one team in the country is losing to the 64th best football team. Like, there's a 0% chance. It can't happen. Alabama's too physical and overwhelming for that 64th best team to compete.
So why don't we mind it in basketball? I mean, put it this way. Alabama versus NC State, I won't even watch. I won't even watch. I can't name a player. I can name Big Guy.
He's
kind of entertaining.
You can name him? What is his name?
Well, his number's 30. I call him 30. But I love when he runs out of gas.
So you just
lied. It's like NASCAR.
You just flat out lied. I can name Big Guy. Well, what's his name? 30.
Well, and
Chewy was right. Holy. Chewy was right.
Like, he is fun to watch because he runs out of gas.
Can you see when it's coming? When he's like running, he's like running down the floor, starts grabbing at the jersey.
Your steps get shorter.
Yeah, his arm swings get a little bit tighter. Yeah, I can see it. He also seems to be having fun. DJ Burns.
He is having the most fun.
Yeah, which makes him fun to watch.
Well, and I think it's easier to have fun when you're NC State. You're not supposed to be there. And now you're just ruining everybody else's time. He's having a great time.
Yeah.
But does that go back to what we talk about? And we talk about this often in Major League Baseball in the playoffs. Best team versus hottest team.
Yep.
This feels like a hottest team run here.
Yeah.
No one thinks that NC State is the best team in the field. And to be perfectly honest, this is the difference between a successful season and an unsuccessful season. Because NC State had a might be hyperbole. They were not good. What was their, they were
not
last.
A tournament team.
They were last, I think, in the ACC or something like that.
They were not last in the ACC, no.
Of the teams that made the tournament.
Okay, yes, of the teams that made the tournament, yes.
Thank you.
But they lost their last four games going into the ACC tournament.
Right, and then ripped off the five in a row to win the whole thing and then punched their ticket and then have just been the thorn in everybody's side since. I think there are a lot of people who are rooting for NC State because they are the Cinderella. The tournament is obviously known for Cinderella stories and how far these types of teams can go, how long they can defy the odds.
And it's the first time since 1983 they've been there.
Yes.
And
oh, is it really?
So again, this will go down in history as a successful season, even if Alabama absolutely curb stomps them in the next game. How?
They play Purdue.
Purdue, thank you. Yeah, well, I listened to Chu.
Yeah, I know. That was the mistake.
Thank you.
I was going to correct him, then he moved on to something else so quickly.
Thank you. But my question to you is this. Is Marquette season a success?
No. Can't be in the top five and then only make it to the Sweet 16. Eight would have been great.
Yeah, I think it's different if they win that one game and then lose a hard-fought Elite Eight game. Because once you get to the Elite Eight, again, so many different things can happen. But especially with the way playing an 11 seed that was just hot. And, man, I don't have any qualms with the way they played. They played hard. Their defense was good. They ran their offense. They just couldn't make shots.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the execution
like
was there.
That's an important part of winning in basketball. I don't know how to like.
But, like, again, when the execution is there and the shots don't fall, I just don't know what else you can do.
Yeah, did you guys see the cut-up that someone put together of how many open threes Marquette missed? Like, a lot of them, there wasn't even a guy within, like, five.
Oh, God, no. Please do not send that to me. Please do not show me that. Please do not
tweet
that to
me. Well, what I'm saying is,
I don't think I can handle it.
What I'm saying is, it's really hard to feel that. Now, I'm not a Marquette fan, but you're taking open shots.
Yes. Yeah. That's the name of the game.
Yeah. So like, and NC State didn't play particularly well against them either. So that, that wasn't a very appeasing game.
So that's what makes it such a weird game because, I mean, we just mentioned the things, Chu, for your career in that game against the 49ers in Super Bowl 32, 4th and 27. Like, all those other, like, heartbreaking games, I think you can point to execution issues that drive you insane.
Yeah, but I had a red flag, Gabe.
Okay.
I had a red flag because they shot 62%, right, in the game before. And they had the work to win that game shooting 62%. So I was like, they ain't shooting 62%.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, they ain't shooting 62% again.
Yeah, but that was more about Colorado hitting threes and being the best three-point shooting team in the country because they had a ton of threes in that game.
Were they overrated?
Marquette?
Yes.
No.
When they were 2, 3, 4, 5, they weren't overrated.
No. I don't think so. Again, okay. It's because And here's the tough part, man, because this is, you mentioned it, Jen, with baseball and hottest team. When you're playing, this is the worst format to figure out who the best basketball team in the country is. Single elimination, one and done. It's entertaining as hell, and we all love it, and they're never going to go away from it because it's entertaining and everybody loves it and is going to tune in. But one game just trips you up. You know, you look at the NBA, you know, you lose one game in a series, but then win the next four, it's no big, 4-1, you dominated them. But in college basketball, you have that one bad game, you don't get a reprieve. You don't get that next chance. If they were to play a seven-game series, true, with NC State, Marquette, I have no doubt they are winning in six.
I agree.
800-990-3776. Our question this morning is, was it a good season or was it a disappointment? Was it a successful season? What do you guys think? What is the verbiage we want to use on the Marquette poll for how you summarize? Again, I'm still in agony. I'm still devastated. I turned my jersey inside out. Turns out it was a reversible.
What was it? You were going for the rally shirt?
I was. I got a video of myself. I was like, look, I'll try anything at this point. It was halftime. I was like, flip the jersey inside out, but it was a reversible, so it's still the exact same thing on the back.
Maybe we'll be better being the away team.
It's possible.
I think the poll should be success or failure.
Just kind of especially, a 1 or 0 thing?
Yeah, especially since it's famous in these parts for the Giannis comments about season not being a failure despite it being a failure. Do people deem it as a failure or a success?
I don't know. The only thing I know for sure is that I'm sad. Because especially in today's college landscape, to have a team together like this was for 2 years, yes, they didn't have Omax back from a year ago, but so much of this core was back, and Oso and Kolek and Cam Jones just being the heart of this team. To have them together for 2 years and have as much fun as I did watching them grow from a team that was expected to finish ninth last year in the Big East to a team that had legitimate Final Four aspirations, it was just so much fun to watch that growth and watch this team be a team. I don't know if it's a success or failure yet. I'll answer that, I guess, eventually. The only thing I know for sure is right now I'm sad because this team is going to be so different next year, and it's still going to be fun next year. It's just going to be different, and I really loved the last 2 years of Marquette basketball.
We'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Get us your responses to that. We're putting it on the poll. Was it a success or a failure, the Marquette basketball season? Let me tell you guys about my friends over at Great Midwest Bank. It is baseball season. We will be out at the ballpark tomorrow for Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. And I know some of you folks are also considering it house hunting season. Great Midwest Bank is ready for you to get to home plate with their easy home mortgage loan process. You can apply online in as little as 20 minutes. I know you got 20 minutes where you can take care of it. And you can submit your loan documents through the Great Midwest Bank safe online portal. Don't worry, if you want a real person to talk to, if you're feeling like you need a little extra guidance in the process, Great Midwest Bank's local loan officers are just a call or a visit away. If it's time to find your new home, you will have home field advantage when you work with your community bank, Great Midwest Bank. Great Midwest Bank is your and my simply local equal housing lender. You can visit greatmidwestbank.com to get started on a home mortgage loan right now.
You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Can I be Chuck Woolery?
Yeah, Tiny Mike.
I mean,
Mike. Average.
I mean,
no, I want to ask the questions. Tiny Mike
on 94.5 ESPN.
She's in my mind when she's not right there beside me. I go crazy because here is where I want to be. And satisfaction feels like a distant memory.
I know this feels a little 1 or 0. And I want to be clear, it wouldn't have necessarily needed to be a national championship in order for the Marquette season to be successful. We were just talking about NC State and how they just exceeded all expectations by being in the Final Four. That season is already a success. They don't have to win another game for NC State's season to be considered a success. I know we got into this, and Josh, you referenced it, when Giannis was talking about whether or not the Bucks season was a success last year after they lost. And Giannis was like, there's no failure. It's all like steps to success. And I understand that philosophy. I do. But it also doesn't feel right now like what the Marquette Golden Eagles did and the way that it ended was a success. Because, Chu, as you referenced, them being one of the top 10 teams all season long, to be bounced in the Sweet 16 the way that they were feels like a failure. But now I have folks weighing in on the ESPN Milwaukee Talk and Text line. Ben saying everyone threw shade on the Badgers and Greg Gard after their loss, but the Badgers had a more successful season than Marquette. Marquette had a lot of hype, overrated, and they were bounced out of the tournament. I'm not sure how you make that assertion. I'm not sure how you say that Marquette's season was less successful than the Badgers. But by what metric?
So going to a Sweet 16 is now less successful than getting bounced in the first game.
I guess his reference is expectations, or like you had lower expectations for the Badgers than you had for Marquette, and Marquette didn't meet the higher expectations, therefore ipso facto. I don't know. I'm riffing here.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense to me. I don't know how you can make that assertion.
You lose to a 12. They were a 5, right?
Yep.
No, they didn't even win one game. I mean, Sweet 16 would have been a success for the Badgers, and 8 would have been success for Marquette.
And, Shu, you're very simply using the fact that they were in the top 10 all season long.
Yeah.
Whenever the rankings came out every week, Marquette was in the top 10, and therefore you're saying to be bounced in the field of 16 is falling short of expectations.
One more level would have been. Plus, that's where I had him in the polls. I kind of failed, too.
So you're feeling it as well.
See, if I had a bounce by NC State, I'd be like,
yeah, it was a successful season. They went exactly as far as they were supposed to go.
As far as I said they were going to go. 800-990-3776. Let's go out to Dan in Sheboygan. Dan is on the line. Dan, you think it was a successful season for the Marquette Golden Eagles?
Yeah, I do, because they advanced a year than they were last year, and this is about right. I think they're about one of the 15 or 20 best teams in the country. It wasn't an overwhelming success, but I mean, I think they were better in November, and other teams got a lot better throughout the season. This is Shaka Smart. This is what he does. He gets out-coached consistently. He loses to teams he shouldn't lose. Ever since he had the one run at VCU, and that's why he's at Texas. Texas didn't want them because he could have beat teams that were better. This is who Taka Smart is. They're one of the 15 best teams in the country. They never were a top 5 team. They never were a top 10 team. This is where they belong. It's a success. It's about where they should have been.
Dan, thanks for the call.
Couldn't disagree more.
Well, I just don't know how Dan, it felt like a little bit, Dan, you were talking out of both sides of your mouth. So they're one of the top 15 teams in the country. But Shaka Smart is the guy who loses to the teams he shouldn't lose to. Like, the Shaka slander doesn't line up with the team's success. To be one of the top 15 teams in the country means that Shaka's good at what he does.
I mean, again, it wasn't an execution thing.
It was simply shots not going down.
Like, the execution and everything there in the game plan that Shaka would have been responsible for. I mean, I know Shaka does like to wander out onto the floor, but I don't think he wandered out far enough where he was taking a 3, was he? Look, sometimes the shots, like, my heart breaks for Jopp. Like, he just had a bad game. And you could see
it. I think also had a bad game, too.
You could, I mean, when Jopp got fouled at the end of the first half, shooting a 3, and he went to the free throw line and missed all 3, I can't remember if it was after the first miss or the second miss, the just deep breath and look in his eyes, you're like, oh, man, this guy's going through it. Just going through it. In a bad time to go through it. I don't think that Shaka was out-coached by any means in the Sweet 16 game. I just think that their team happened to not knock down wide-open threes. And that's why they went home.
What's the equivalent in football? Turnovers? Like, you lose to a team that you clearly beat?
Yeah, probably.
Or should beat, but you turn the ball over 4 times, you're like, eh.
But just, like, not even, like, bad interceptions, like, bad luck fumbles.
Just fluky stuff.
Yeah, like, you coughed the ball up, and you dove on the ball, but it squirted away, and then somebody else picked it up and ran it for a pick six.
I mean, because I still had faith until about 6 minutes left. I'm like, the shots have got to start falling. They're going to battle back.
Yeah, because they cut it. Jen was just talking about this. They cut it to 6, right?
Yeah.
And you're going, okay, here they come. These shots are going to start falling here in the last 6 minutes, and it's going to be a great Marquette comeback that we're going to talk about forever, and the shots just...
At one stretch, it looked like Tyler Kolek was going to put the team on his back. He was going to be like, okay, it's not falling from outside. I'm going to drive the lane. I'm going to get the bucket. They were obviously playing him well defensively. And I thought there were a couple times where he then deferred to try to get it. This is what a good point guard does, right? He gets everybody involved once again. But at one point, I was like, just keep it, Tyler. Just keep the damn ball. You and the hoop. That's it right now. That's all we need. But he obviously tried to get some of those other guys going, like Cam, like Jopp, and it was like... It just wasn't their day. I want to get to some reaction that we are getting because it is coming in fast and furious on the ESPN Milwaukee talk and text line. Ben weighing in saying Badgers played to expectations. Marquette did not. Marquette with Shaka had all the hype. His track record is so similar. Matthew weighing in saying, Gabe, I love your face during that call from Dan. You must have just been so like, man, this ain't it. This ain't it. Chef Ed weighing in saying
that's
the NCAA
a terrible poker player.
Calls the dance the road to the Final Four. Unless you get there, the season is a failure. We had the team to get it done. This was a wasted opportunity. And I can understand that sentiment. I can. It feels like a wasted opportunity. You know, I had said when I watched the first go-round with Marquette versus UConn that that felt worse to me than when Marquette lost to Murray State. Because I was able to defend the Murray State loss as Ja Morant just having a game for the ages. He's, you know, a generational player for that program, obviously. Goes on to the NBA. He just, you know, him and his buddies went off that game. I was like, ah, tip your cap. It sucked because that was a good team, but it wasn't as good as this team. Everybody's like, no, how could you compare a regular season game? And my point was, I thought it set the tone. Now, UConn is on another level. I don't know if anybody can beat UConn the way that they've been playing. Chew, did you see that they won? I'm sorry, I shouldn't laugh.
No, you can't.
They went on the 30-0 run.
Yes, thank you very much.
Who does that?
That doesn't happen
anywhere. Like, literally anywhere. Third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade, high school, NBA. 30-0 runs don't happen.
That's crazy.
They don't happen in the Elite Eight. 30-0?
You don't think Purdue can beat them?
I think that Purdue has to. Can Purdue beat them? Yes. But Purdue has to be perfect. Okay. Anybody who beats UConn right now has to play perfect.
They're just so deep, and they can kill you from everywhere. That's the problem.
Well, because you think, okay, here we go, 23-all. Illinois is hanging with them. There's 3 minutes left in the first. 30-0 run. This game's over.
And then my other question is, can Kolek play in the league?
In the NBA?
Yeah.
Somebody's going to take a chance on him probably in the second round.
Fast enough to play?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, he's creative enough with the ball. Somebody's going to give an opportunity to be that second unit point guard, I would think. He's showed improvement with his three-point shot where he can knock those down. It's going to be interesting. At 6'3", you're going to be a little undersized, so that's going to have to play into it.
He's a great maestro, though.
100%.
He's really good. That's his deal. If he can find a home and be a maestro.
Lots of reaction rolling in this morning on our question. Was it a success or a failure? I know there are going to be people who take issue with the arbitrary nature of it, right? That it is this one or zero type of thing. But at the end of the day, how do you consider, how are you feeling today about the Marquette season? I'm sure it brought Marquette fans a lot of joy. You and I have talked about a fun team to watch. I certainly enjoyed doing the show. I know you enjoyed doing the pre- and post-game show, Gabe. But Ned weighing in saying, Marquette was a 2 seed in the tournament. This was a complete and utter failure. The worst shooting team in NCAA history. There is something to that as well. To shoot as poorly as they did, you can sit there and say sometimes it's just not your night, but they picked the worst day to have their worst day, and that will go down, as I said, I'm going to be haunted by 4 of 31 for the rest of my time as a Marquette fan. One more reaction here before we get to break. Jesse weighing in saying Marquette's season was a success versus Wisconsin. He's comparing the two.
Yeah, sure.
It puts them back on the map for recruiting and the transfer portal and more successful than my Jen, Gabe, and Chewy grievance bracket spot. LOL. I don't know if Shaka will dip into the transfer portal. He has not yet. And that has been a concerted effort by him, Gabe.
Yeah, the last couple of years he hasn't. When he first arrived, they had some, obviously, Tyler Kolek didn't start his career here. But he wants to build, if he does, it's going to have to be just the perfect program fit, because the way he talks about developing those relationships, developing that program, he's doing it a little bit differently. He was on Unsportsmanlike with our pals over there on ESPN Radio last week talking about how, you know, hey, you get here. Yeah, there's NIL. We don't talk about that in our process. We want to make sure we have the right people here, and then we go from there. So it would have to be just the absolute right, perfect fit for this program and what they want to do.
I had a buddy who knew I was going through it. He texted me saying, yeah, but those EGBs. And I was like, okay, blocked. Okay, we're blocked. We're not chatting anymore, you and me. We got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Lots of stuff to get to. We got opening day for the Brewers coming up tomorrow. Again, we will be there, Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, from the warning track. And I guess there were some conversations about the Green Bay Packers this past weekend being one of the top teams in the league. I saw the conversation that Jordan Love had with Thanasis Antetokounmpo. That was very interesting. But talking about who is the biggest threat in the NFC, is it the Packers? Are the Packers the biggest threat right now in the NFC? We'll have that conversation as the show rolls on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Tune into Thanalysis Show every week. Bucks player Thanasis Antetokounmpo sits down with special guests to have fun and honest conversations. Conversations with NBA stars Damian Lillard and Donovan Mitchell. Basketball media royalty like Jay Williams. More big name guests already lined up to be a part of season two of Thanalysis, including what Jen just said, Jordan Love. So make sure you find Thanalysis Show today on Apple, Spotify, or wherever else you get your podcasts. Subscribe to the Thanalysis Show YouTube channel as well for accompanying videos and special content.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Ryan and McGonigal weighing in. Hey, if you find something that sucks for 25 years, you hold on to that.
Yeah, that is a very good point.
Because usually the sucking only happens before you get married, and then the sucking just stops.
We're going to get fired.
Yeah. On 94.5 ESPN.
Know if there has been an opening day for the Milwaukee Brewers I have been more excited about. And that's crazy talk, I think. I mean, new skipper and whatnot, kind of an unproven team. But here we are, 3-0, off today, opening up at AmFam Field tomorrow. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy will be there in the morning, so we'll get you set for opening day. And Brewers and Mets making national news this weekend.
Fight, 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 fight.
If you haven't seen the video yet of Rhys Hoskins yelling at Jeff McNeil of the Mets, please find it. The John Boy edit where they are saying what they're saying, right? They're reading their lips and articulating what they're saying because you can't hear it on the broadcast, right? You can only just see the lips moving and try to guess what they're saying is phenomenal. It's fantastic. I've watched it 6 times. I've laughed every time.
Also, not safe for work. So if you're like settling in at your desk this morning, you know, maybe throw in the earbuds.
Yes. Also, we were going to play it on the show, but Joshy was like, do you know how much editing I have? Do you know how many bleeps? I don't have enough time to bleep the whole thing, Jen.
F-words.
I cannot. But so that to me is an indication of the energy that this guy brings to the Milwaukee Brewers game. And it makes me even more excited to see what he can do in a Brewers uniform this year.
We've had conversations about insults that we like, think are funny, think are tough to come back over the course of the 3 years we've been doing this show. I don't know if there's ever coming back from when somebody looks at you, brings their fists up to their eyes and starts making the baby wah noise.
Wah, wah. And then
there's
adds,
no coming
and then
out.
Adds the effing in
yes,
front of it.
Yes.
Effing wah. Effing wah. Like, you're right. There is no. It's like when Chewy says to you or me, what NFL team did you play for? And
yeah.
They're like,
all right.
You know what?
Okay, then.
Well, we have no response and we are done here.
There's no coming back from effing wah.
Effing. Yeah, I almost said the word. It was so good. Are you excited, Chu, about the energy that Rhys Hoskins brings to this team?
And I think they need that. They need a little edge to them. But, Gabe, you disagree with me. A little dirty.
Zero dirtiness to the slide.
When you barrel roll into second base, there's a little bit of
he
intent.
He didn't barrel roll into
there's
second base.
A little bit of intent. I don't have a problem with it.
No, it's a hard slide to break up second base. For a guy who talks about how we've gotten soft as a society, how are you going to tell me that that was dirty?
It's going to be very tough considering the viral video that you posted
during
football season 2. To act
I'm
like
okay
all of
with
a
dirty. I'm just saying, that was, could have been flagged, could not have been flagged.
Well, they do call it roll out the barrel roll, so maybe he was just trying to show how much he understood about Milwaukee baseball culture.
They also did review it and determined he did nothing wrong in the process. It was a little bit of a late slide, but they've changed those rules at second base, where it used to be...
You're really protected as a second baseman.
Yeah, it used to be way different, where people would like not even be able to touch the base, and they'd be kicking guys to make sure they didn't make that turn.
That's why, because, I mean, before, like, replay, it was just the neighborhood play. If you were in the neighborhood of second base turning a double play because guys were coming in so hard, they typically gave you the outs.
Uh-huh.
And like, he slid over the base. Was it a late slide? Yes. But when you're trying to break up two, it was a slide within the rules. He didn't throw his cleats up.
Yeah, no spike high.
He didn't slide over the base, made sure he was able to hold on to it. Jeff McNeil just needs to play second better. You're taught as a middle infielder, especially a second baseman, to get out of the way to make sure that you don't get hurt, because that guy's barreling into breakup
time. God, I hope that there are signs the next time they play the Mets that say effing wah, or just have the face the little fists up there by the eyes. What did you make, Gabe, the next day of them throwing at Rhys Hoskins, throwing behind Rhys Hoskins, because Johan Ramirez got ejected?
Two words. Bush League. Especially,
Hold on. What's he supposed to do? Why didn't he put it in the middle of his back?
Because he missed him.
He did miss him?
Yeah, he missed him.
Oh, I thought he was just chicken
the thing, Chu. You also don't do it after... At that point, Rhys Hoskins had already driven in four runs and had two hits. Had a two-run single in the first, hit a dinger the next time he was up. At that point, you can't throw at him. If you want to get it back at him for the day before, now you're even softer because you didn't throw at him to begin with, and then he starts kicking your ass. So now, I don't like that you kicked my ass physically and on the field, so I'm going to throw at you. That is the softest crap you can do.
I would log stuff when I played against teams. Like when I played against Minnesota and someone got a cheap shot on me and I couldn't get him that game, I'd log it and go into the next game with it.
Well, that's relevant here, Chu, because apparently that's part of the reason why Mets fans and maybe Mets players had an issue with Hoskins, because when he played for the Phillies back in 2019, he is on record as having the slowest home run trot in the history of Major League Baseball. It took him 34.
Thank you for your service.
2 seconds
to go around the bases.
To get around the bases. And I am here for that. I am here for that level of petty, right? If you can jam yourself into a fan base's self-conscious, where you are living, here's that phrase, Chu, rent free in their head.
Yeah.
I don't know. I kind of like it.
I do too. I think it's spicy for the game. Do they play one another again?
Yes.
AmFam?
Yes, they have a series here at American Family Field. I'm not sure when.
So they're throwing at him.
Well, so typically that's what you would do, Chu. Like, okay, this happened, you log it. Maybe not this series, but the next series early in the game, in one of the games you throw at him, and everybody kind of understands. But because it happened, whatever, how many ever weeks or months ago, everybody's kind of, okay, that's what it's from, and now we move on. Throwing at him the next day after he's already kicking your ass is just, that's just Bush.
Fans gave him a standing ovation for that. Does it help? Standing ovation for what? Then you get ejected. Now you're not available to your team. And to me, that feels like a dumb.
Did he get suspended as well?
Oh, yeah. You get suspended when you throw it at someone. Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So now you can't help your team. Good job. Didn't even get him.
They play the Mets the last series of the year.
That could be good.
First series of the year, last series of the year.
800-990-3776. Do the antics of Rhys Hoskins and the Brewers against the Mets make you more invigorated for the season? Justin weighing in saying, Jen, you're spot on. I've been reinvigorated with this team due to the young play, especially Jackson Churio, who we haven't even talked about, but we will tomorrow, I'm sure. Wanting to beat Council is really driving it for me. It's great to have an awesome villain. There is something to be said for that, right? With the way that the Council thing went down, how so many people were frustrated with his departure to the Cubs and the slow start to the season. I didn't catch the final yesterday. I know that they had lost the first two games. They were tied when I checked in with the Cubs yesterday.
Yeah, they scored four in the ninth
and won. They did end up winning. Okay, so the Cubs ended up winning. But still, to start the season with just one win out of your opening series does feel like the Brewers got right now, there are going to be a lot of people who always pay attention to where the Cubs are in the standings, but will be paying even closer attention this year because of the way that the thing went down with Council.
Are you excited, Jen, because there are no expectations?
Maybe. As we had the Marquette conversation earlier in the show and about how Marquette, didn't meet expectations for the season, maybe it is that I don't know what to expect from this young Brewers team.
Yeah, I think even if that doesn't result in the playoffs, this is a more entertaining team than we've seen in a long time.
It's a fun team.
Just because the sheer amount of athleticism and speed. And I mean, Rhys Hoskins became like a cult hero in the matter of 24 hours.
That's true.
He's like everyone's favorite player now.
Everybody was excited because it's a guy who can hit home runs. Yes. And then he went effing wham at another player. And those, I don't know if they're going to be able to stock enough Rhys Hoskins jerseys at the team store.
Do you think that we could wear Rhys Hoskins jerseys tomorrow morning? Do you think that if we go to the Brewers and drop our credit card down, they would give us a couple Rhys Hoskins jerseys to wear for Jen,
David, Chewy? If they're not sold out.
Yeah, if they're not sold out, because I'm sure the store's open today.
I saw somebody post that they went actually over the weekend And the person working at the store said, "This is our most popular jersey." And that's with Jackson Churio, who's like the biggest prospect.
Great point. Great
and playing
point.
Extremely well.
Yeah. Mind you, point. Got off to a great start. Yeah.
Totally overshadowed by effing wah. Yeah.
Which is great.
Yeah. I mean, you hit a home run and then you do the celebration of the wah with the guys in the dugout. Everyone loves you.
Well, we will be out there tomorrow at AmFam Field.
I forgot
too,
about that, yeah. too. You get back to the dugout and you look at your team and wah as a celebration. Oh, it's so good. Just so good.
All right, well, that's what we need, right? Because the baseball season can lag and can drag, but a start to the season with three straight wins, and now to be welcoming, it is the Twins, right? I feel as they only play the Twins for the opening few weeks of the season. Yeah. That seems to be a standard for the Milwaukee Brewers.
It is the Twins tomorrow. Just a quick little, it's an odd two-game series, as it always is against the Twins, so a couple of afternoon games. But look, we're going to be on the warning track tomorrow. Even though it's going to be 7 a.m., I feel like there's going to be an energy in the ballpark that I cannot wait for.
Could you still go yard?
If you give me a metal bat.
I was going to say, we're going to need aluminum.
Yeah. And not today's aluminum. I need the aluminum from when I played. I need a little more juice in that bat.
All those bats that are outlawed.
Yes.
They're on the illegal list.
I might still have one in the garage.
Why, Shu, can you? You think you can go yard?
Oh, I bet Shu can.
I would have came back if they let us take BP.
You're a liar. I'm
definitely going yard.
No, that's the second time in this show that you have lied. There was no way you were coming back ahead of time. I thought maybe we might get you because we were at the field, on the field.
But it sounds good for him to say I'd come back if we only take
it. I think I believe him. If he could get some hacks in, I think I believe him.
I guarantee we could get away. We could probably get him in the cage.
I'm going yard right-handed. The question is, can I go yard left-handed?
Oh, boy.
And again, since there's no way to prove this, why not say these ridiculous and egregious things this morning, too?
I do think he could, because, I mean, I've played with plenty of softball guys who have really nothing other than a lot of upper body strength, and they still manage to get it out of the park. So,
what are you saying about my legs, Joshy?
Well, I'm saying, like, you're not going to have the most technically sound swing.
I'll say it. I'll say whatever. What do you want me to say about your legs, Chu? I'll say it. You skip leg day.
Proudly.
Yes, and brag about it.
You got a point.
Curls for the girls.
All right. My bird dogs are still tight, though.
That sounds like a euphemism and not literally your shorts.
I didn't even know what bird dogs were. All right. We'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Roll on after this.
With local Milwaukee team, Fifth Third Bank knows what success looks like. They've been serving businesses and individuals in the area for nearly 15 years, including a longstanding commitment to the healthcare industry. From expansion to treasury management, Fifth Third offers a full suite of financial services and solutions across the healthcare spectrum to meet the complex moments you're navigating. Fifth Third has a great local team. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, custom solutions built around your goals. Member FDIC.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Jen, has college football gotten a little sleazy? Where you can recruit
gotten?
A little? No, I'm saying from the standpoint, it used to be.
That was good.
On 94.5 ESPN.
My family trip, a little Celsius energy drink. That's right, every morning picking them up at the old Mercado. Celsius energy drink is what helps me get through the day, and it can do the same for you. You can find it at your local Pick and Save store or online at Amazon. Stay active and energized all day long with Celsius Essential energy drinks. I really enjoyed checking out the old polls, seeing how our Jen, Gabe, and Chewy grievance bracket was doing. Had an issue with a few winners, but not totally. I think pretty much everything went the way I thought it would go, Gabe. So go ahead and give us an update on where we are now with the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy grievance bracket.
It is time to dive into the Sweet 16, so we'll unveil four matchups today. The two matchups we begin with are in the dining. I just want to get this out on the record. In true Jen, Gabe, and Chewy fashion, we seeded this incorrectly, we posted it incorrectly, but there's only so much we can do, so we move on.
Wait, what?
Well, so, you know, when the one seed wins, if everything stays chalk, in the Sweet 16, the one would play a four seed. Well, reseed it, but it's always one versus four, you know, if everything goes to chalk. So the one's taking on the six, the seven's taking on the four in the dining, so we just kind of jumbled up the order.
Oh,
but
boy.
Again, you know, hey, it's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. What are you going to do?
What do you expect?
The first Sweet 16 matchup in the dining region. The number one seed advanced, waiting for a seat when there are empty tables, clearly. That advance to take on, which quite possibly could be, I think, the favorite in this matchup despite being the sixth seed. Tip included, but no mention of the tip being included.
Yeah, because it feels deceitful, right? Yeah. It feels like you are lying and trying to get an extra tip out of the people. Nobody likes that. Nobody likes to feel like they are being taken advantage of.
When I was in Vegas a couple of weeks ago, the like one big group dinner we had where 9 of the 10 of us went out for dinner, the waiter went, "Hey, typically we do this add-on tip. I'm old school. I don't do that. We're not doing that. I want you to tip me based on however you think I do," which was kind of refreshing. The second matchup in the dining region, the 7 seed advancing, one person waiting for food when everybody else has their food, taking on the 4 seed of loud talking at a nearby table.
Ugh. This is a tough one for me, Chew.
I'd probably go loud talking.
Sort of related, but not necessarily. On the plane on the way home. First row, child, Coco Melon, no headphones. First row, child, Coco Melon, no headphones.
Yeah, that's kind of more adjacent to speakerphone everywhere.
Yes.
Which is also a grievance.
But also loud talking, because it's like, yeah, shared space, shared space.
Where Gabe, where's the valet ate my DoorDash?
That's coming up next year's list.
Yeah, that could be dining. That could be road. I mean, it just fits in so many different categories, too.
Guess I'll tell that story in the second hour of the show, huh?
Yeah.
Did you say valet ate my DoorDash?
Yeah.
It's a good title. It's a good title, Chew.
Yeah, that's a good story.
Oh,
too.
It is a really good story.
So those are the only two we're revealing now.
Those, yes, and we'll reveal the 2 Sweet 16 matchups in the bathroom region coming up later in the show.
All right, good to know. So we'll go ahead and post those on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. You can vote on those. I do have a lot of people who reach out to me saying, "I love the polls. I vote on them every day." And then they were advocating for what they hoped would win. So that was kind of fun to watch as I was on my vacation last week. All right, Jen, Gabe, and Chewy rolls on. I guess I should tell the story about Valet Ate My DoorDash.
Yeah.
When we come back.
Hell of a tease, big guy.
Look at you.